right, we're going to get tonight's Future Melbourne Committee meeting underway. It is meeting number 56 on Tuesday the 21st of May 2019, and we're opening the meeting at 5:30 p.m. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public. Welcome to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri peoples of the Kulin Nation, and pay respect to their elders past and present. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Today, we are proud to say that Melbourne is a significant gathering place for all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that this meeting is being streamed live and streamed through the City of Melbourne's website. An audio and video recording will be published on the Council's website by close of business tomorrow. Whilst we do try to avoid filming members of the public who attend or present at this meeting, there is a possibility that your image may be inadvertently captured, so please take this as notice that that may happen. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of this meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of our Council Business Team at the end of the meeting. Our Council Business Team is just over here. I request that all mobile phones please be turned off or to silent. The agenda this evening comprises three reports from management and one item of general business. We have received an apology from Councillor Louis, we do have one councillor with a commitment at our Melbourne Knowledge Week, and that's Councillor Watts, who will join us as soon as she can. I advise members of the committee and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour of it, the decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. Disclosure of conflicts of interest. Councillors, if you have either a direct or an indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by committee this evening, please disclose the type and nature of that conflict prior to consideration of the item. We're now going to look at confirmation of minutes, agenda item 3. I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 55 held on Tuesday, 7 May 2019. Councillor Leppard is first councillor out of the stalls tonight. Thank you. And Councillor Reese is seconding the motion. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. It's unanimous. So I declare that motion carried. Matters arising, councillors, were there any matters arising from those minutes or the previous meeting that you would like to raise at this point? There are none. Thank you very much. The following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code. In relation to agenda item 6.1, which is Ministerial Planning Referral, TPMR-2010-28/A, which is 63 to 83 Kingsway and 127 to 129 Cavanagh Street, South Bank. We have requests to speak from Caleb Smith of Ellenberg Fraser and Jamie Govenlock from Urbis. Thank you. In relation to agenda item 6.2, which is the Elizabeth Street Strategic Opportunities Plan, we have requests to speak from David Beanham, Nick Dow from Bike Melbourne and John Milanese. We also have items of correspondence from Owen Bentley, Claudia Mark, David Beanham, Nick Dow and John Milanese. In relation to agenda item 6.3, which is Melbourne Fashion Week, we have a request to speak from Chris Thrum and an item of correspondence also from Chris Thrum. In relation to agenda item 7.1, notice of motion, Councillor Leppett, zoning of council-owned parks, we have an item of correspondence from Carl Hessian. apologies if I've mucked up anybody's names in the list that I've just read out. And thank you very much for your submissions and presentations this evening in advance. I advise all submitters that you will be invited to address the committee at the time relevant to your item. You will have 3 minutes to address the committee, and it's our intention to keep to the time limits this evening. To help all of our presenters, we have this countdown clock on the wall. It beeps at 2 minutes to let you know you've got 1 minute left, and then it beeps at the end of your 3 minutes. And at that point, if you could please finish your presentation and take your seat, that would be most appreciated. Thank you. Now, at the start and the end of every council meeting, every future Melbourne committee meeting, we have a 15-minute period provided for public questions. And the idea here is that it is time for public questions. The questions should be no longer than 90 seconds in duration, and it's not about making a submission, it's actually about asking a question. Your questions are very welcome. If you could just keep in mind the time limit and the fact that it's not time for a submission, that would be appreciated. What we'd like to do now is ask anybody that has a question to put their hands up, and we'll grab your names, and then we'll call you up one after the other to the podium to speak. So if we have some questions from the public, could you please let us know now? That would be fabulous. No questions tonight? All right, thank you very much. We will move to agenda item 6, which is reports from management. And in relation to the first item to be considered here, I'm going to call on Councillor Rees to assume the role of chair of the meeting in relation to the planning portfolio. Councillor Rees.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. There's one report from management for consideration under the planning portfolio this evening. That is Ministerial Planning Referral TPMR 2010-28/A for the property 68 to 83 Kings Way and 127 to 129 Kavanagh Street, South Bank. Given we have two presenters this evening, I don't think we need a presentation from management, and I'm seeing agreement to that. So I will now call on Caleb Smith, architect from Ellenberg Fraser, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in relation to this matter. Welcome to Town Hall, Caleb. We invite you to speak for no more than 3 minutes, please.
Lord Mayor and Councillors, thank you for the opportunity to present. I just want to give you a brief overview of the project and the journey that we've come through so far. The site, as you well know, is on the corner of Kavanagh and Kings Way. We have an existing permit on the site from 2011. That permit's being modified to bring it into a compliant position with DDO 10 setback controls, and then remassing the site to improve the outcome broadly to Boyd Park and an overall change in the program of the building. This diagram summarises the overall strategy. You can see on the left the buildings in pink, which are two block form towers with minimal setbacks that have been adjusted to reorientate into an L-shaped building with a smaller building that holds the corner. As part of the design work, we have a picture here of the previous scheme. We have modified the scheme to retain the existing Austral Otis building. That's a heritage property that's going through a separate process at the moment. That property will be integrated into the design and preserved as part of a revised streetscape. In overall summary, we have 43 stories, a five-star hotel that's connected with the Marriott Group, a 350 hotel rooms, 80 branded residences, 248 apartments, and 77,000 in round figures. Significant investment, and as part of that, very much interested in the relationship to Boyd Park. I'm flicking through the points because I'm conscious of the time. Jamie advised me, just watch that clock. so the activation,
we can be ruthless.
The activation and placemaking, obviously very important in relationship to the Boyd Park. We've reorientated the building so that it does improve the conditions to the park. The plot ratio has reduced from the permitted. The arrangement of the building shown in the second diagram across has improved the condition and relationship of the streetscape. The car parking has been reduced. We've improved the wind conditions to Boyd Park, which were a legacy of the previous permit. and adjusted the interfaces between the building to minimise overlooking and improve outlook from the apartments and hotel rooms. And then lastly, as I said before, the modification of the setbacks to improve the overall setback and building profile. This is a white card view of the permitted envelope as it stands with exposed car parking to Kingsway. This is a white card view of the revised design, which incorporates the existing heritage building into a revised ground floor that's activated, presenting active frontages back to the park. This is once again the previous scheme with the sheer face massing that fronts Kingsway, and then the revised design in simple massing forms with two towers and a corner building that holds the corner above the heritage building and a larger L-shaped building to the rear. The views here looking across Boyd Park from the south side of Kingsway, a revised aerial from the rear of the Crown Complex, and then the ground floor story. The interiors open up to the park and present a series of arched facades that allow people to engage back to the park beyond, and then an elevated rooftop terrace that's a key part of the Marriott brief for the hotel. Zero. Done. Thank you.
Centimetre perfect, Caleb. Thank you very much. Now I call on Jamie Govanlock from Urbis to speak for, and he already knows the answer to this, no more than 3 minutes. Welcome back to Town Hall, Jamie.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good evening, Lord Mayor and councillors. One of the things that Caleb didn't say, and he was very instrumental in putting this together, was convincing the client not to go ahead with the approved scheme on the site. That took a lot of courage and a lot of dedication, a lot of conversations, but we got there in the end, and I think we've got a far better result. So it's an old permit, July 2011. Works have commenced on the site. But the world's changed since then with DDO 10 and so forth, so we've had to go back to the drawing board. In a nutshell, we effectively comply with DDO 10, and where we don't, we are not increasing any more deficiencies in relation to that. So we're sort of bringing things into line with DDO 10. in terms of the big picture improvements, just from a planning point of view of what's actually happening on the site and the precinct, effectively, I think the retention of the significant heritage asset on the site, I think, is a real plus, not only for the site itself, but just for the precinct generally. Council's tipped a lot of money into the precinct, being Boyd Park and so forth. I think also having the residential hotel and able to sort of tie in with that potential tourist vibe that we're looking for in that particular area is a real benefit with the hotel. There are a mix of a number of different sorts of apartments within there. There's 15% of the apartments are three bedrooms, so it's not a one and two bedroom type of scheme. You've got a far more elegant architectural form and a more responsive built form to the precinct itself, both in terms of land use and also built form. You've got a total redistribution of building massing and height away from Cavanagh Street and Boyd Park, which is obviously a positive. You've got a smaller 80-metre compliant DDO 10 tower on the corner of Kingsway and Cavanagh, which sort of holds the flanks of the site. You've got an increase in setbacks to Cavanagh Street and also Kingsway as well of 5 metres, which you didn't have before. So there's some spacing away from Boyd Park to give it a bit more breathing space and a bit more presence. And you've got a significantly improved pedestrian amenity at ground level around both interfaces of the building. And you've also got improved public surveillance, I think, which is going to be very important for this part of the world. You don't have a stack of car parking that's running up the podium of the building. You've also got significantly improved wind conditions and also the internal design of the apartments are generally BADS compliant. I think the only bit where they're not, to be frank, and this was in the council report, I think the ceilings are a fraction lower in some of them, but overall I don't have an issue with that on the basis of all the other good things that the proposal is doing. So overall, I think it's a terrific scheme. I think it's much better than what we could have had on the site, and I'm glad that Caleb showed the dedication and guts to convince the client to do otherwise. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Any questions for Jamie or Caleb? Okay. Thank you very much for that presentation. I will now move a motion which will hopefully appear on the screen very shortly. And I'm looking to Councillor Leppett to second that motion that everybody can see. Thank you, Councillor Leppett. I'll speak to this matter. Sadly, I don't get to do this every time FMC meets, but I can, in a full-throated way, say congratulations to Ellenberg Fraser, to Urbis, Jamie Govanlock. I'm sure you were doing a lot of work behind the scenes. And, of course, to the landowner Run All International and Heng Mayo Australia. This is a world of difference between what we've seen previously back in 2011 and what we have before us today. I think the community expects us to speak honestly about these things, and the truth is I think the previous design and the previous development proposal was pretty ordinary, but I think what is back before us tonight is actually going to add very significantly in a positive way to this part of Melbourne, which the City of Melbourne is particularly heavily invested in at the moment with the development of Boyd Park. As you have touched upon, the design is very significantly improved. Ellenberg Fraser, Caleb, you've done a really, really good job there. I'm particularly pleased to see that the heritage building has been retained, and you've come up with a much more interesting design for the ground plane, the arches around the hotel entrance, opening out onto Boyd Park in the way it does. It's really going to make that a special part of the city. I also particularly like the way that in the design of the new building and the interface with the heritage building, I think you've done something quite interesting, which adds to the heritage character of the building. Too often recently here at FMC, we have seen development proposals where there's just a plain glass cube put on top of a heritage building. I want to challenge Melbourne's architects to do better than that, lift the bar. And I think with the archways, with some of the materials and design, you've done that really, really great way with this proposal. Also, I think the greater use of mixed dwelling typologies is a positive. The introduction of a 350-room residential Marriott Hotel with two taverns will be a very positive thing in this part of the city. And look, the elegant design of the tower, I think, will add to the skyline down in South Bank as well. I'm particularly pleased to see the change in the massing and setback, and in particular the impact that's going to have on wind through that part of the city. It'll be much improved wind conditions on Boyd Park, which we look forward to becoming a very busy communal hub for that part of the city. So that change in design is going to make that park much more usable for the people of this city. Again, I say congratulations, well done to the team, and very happy to put this motion before FMC. Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Chair. I definitely agree with that. This is an improved scheme compared to the approved scheme that was in place before. We've already mentioned the compliance with DDO 10, the appropriate setbacks, and a new superior massing strategy is very, very welcome. And of course, the respect for the future Boyd Park, which is going to be such an important space for hotel visitors, residents of this and neighbouring buildings. So it's great to see that the very significant redesign of the building has been pursued and that we're in a position to support a greatly improved design. Just one quick note on the heritage building. Obviously, in this part of South Bank, there's a lot of towers that have a very difficult relationship with the heritage fabric that was there in the past. To be frank, this is no exception. There's still a very, very large massing on top of the heritage fabric, but there's a bit more three-dimensionality to the heritage fabric that is being retained, even though it is just essentially a facadism. That corner, though, that's been retained is very important in this part of South Bank. It will keep that legibility of the street and human scale for the first four levels, which is really where our urban designers seem to have pushed quite hard, and the architect should be commended on providing such detail and mature architectural thinking about those first four floors in particular, because that's where I can see the greatest improvements on the endorsed scheme. So well done to everyone. I think the Minister should be approving this.
Thank you, Councillor Lippitt. Lord Mayor.
I agree with all those comments, and this design looks much better. I just wanted to add a couple of things. One, the purple pub I get asked all the time. I don't know whether it was a pub, but the purple bit I get asked a lot by residents, particularly around there, what is going on, and I think they'll be really delighted to see that it is being returned to its former glory, that heritage, because it's just been treated so badly in the meantime. And secondly, really pleased that that within the apartment mix we've now got three-bedroom apartments as well, and of course that's something that we really encourage given the diversity of people seeking accommodation in the city. So the fact that we've now got 44 three-bedroom apartments is to be acknowledged, so thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Any other speakers for or against the motion? All right. I might just conclude with one other point that jumped out at me from the report, which I failed to comment on earlier, and that was the large increase in communal facilities in this development. So it's moving from 1,250 square metres up to around 6,000. So again, being so close to a park with that additional communal facility is going to be a terrific addition to this part of the city. So on that final note, I apologise, DLN. Oh, you're raring to vote. Okay. I will now call on all those in favour of the motion to raise your hands. I declare that carried unanimously. I now call on Councillor Francis Gillie to assume the role of chair of the meeting in relation to the transport portfolio.
Thank you, Councillor. There is one report from management for consideration under the transport portfolio. That's agenda item 6.2, Elizabeth Street Strategic Opportunities Plan. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? No, thank you. I now call on David Binham, I hope that's how your surname is pronounced, who requested the opportunity to address the committee in the relation to this matter, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is David Binham. My family has traded in Elizabeth Street for around 70 years. I own a shop on the west side of Elizabeth Street between Lonsdale and Little Lonsdale Streets. I am opposed to a key aspect of the Elizabeth Street Strategic Opportunities Plan, the closure of parts of Elizabeth Street to through traffic. The perceived issues of congested tram stops and walking space can be solved by simple common sense measures such as increasing tram services during peak usage, and in the case of pedestrians, removing obstacles such as tables and chairs, motorcycles, and getting pedestrians to keep left. An expanded underground network will reduce the use of Elizabeth Street trams when completed. Bicycles are little used in Elizabeth Street, 6% of journeys, and the marked lanes seem to work. Regarding aesthetic issues, the council has only recently spent on improving Elizabeth Street with bluestone pavers, seats, rubbish bins and drinking fountains. Further expenditure is not needed or justified. People come to the city to shop, to work, to meet, not to sit and admire the view. Planting further trees will cause problems with shop verandas. Funneling northbound traffic from Elizabeth Street to Little Lonsdale Street is totally unsatisfactory. Little Lonsdale has a pedestrian crossing in constant use. Trucks queue to offload at Melbourne Central. Trams running up and down Elizabeth Street limit right-hand turns from Elizabeth to Little Lonsdale Street. To offload at the front of my shop would mean a two-block detour to return to Latrobe or Elizabeth Streets. Surrounding roads will experience more traffic. Closing Elizabeth Street will inconvenience a great many users for very little gain. I ask that the committee reject the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. excuse me. I now call on Nick Doe, Bike Melbourne, to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank you, Nick.
I'm representing Bike Melbourne, also known as Melbourne Bicycle User Group. And I'm here to offer our unreserved support for this plan in every aspect. And I think the best thing about it is the elimination of through traffic. Most of the cars in these blocks don't need to be there. When you eliminate through traffic, you create a better environment without anything else being done. When Metro had Flinders Lane closed for a week, allowing local access, we counted. We did an all-day count in each block on separate days. There was about a car every 3 minutes. And those cars, there was no restriction on access to that block. So you can still get in and do your deliveries 24/7. You have access. So I think that's a really good aspect of the plan. And that's why we support even the blocks where there's car access and no bicycle infrastructure, because you don't need it when it's local traffic only. By the way, while I'm here, if I could, through the chair, I'd like to thank the Lord Mayor. I haven't been here since you've been elected, for your leadership on cycling issues. And as we ride around the city, those of us who do, we really appreciate you're in our corner. Most of Melbourne's roads are hostile for bikes. Elizabeth Street is hostile for bikes. I wasn't even aware of any marked lanes. If there are any, they're door zone marked lanes. I live on Lonsdale Street and I travel in Elizabeth Street a lot. Almost every block in the city has through traffic in it. It's an arterial road in effect, including the little streets. It doesn't belong there and it doesn't make things easier for anybody, including traders. It makes it harder to get to your door with your deliveries. Currently there's maybe a couple of roads that are okay to ride in, Latrobe Street and Swanson Street. The rest of the city is quite hostile. Our CBD is about, 3K across now. The bike is the ideal way to get around. It's too far to walk. Why isn't everybody... There's nobody doing it. There's me and the food delivery bikes most of the time. Why isn't everybody riding their bike? Because it's so hostile. And we need to flip our thinking around so that there's a couple of roads for cars, probably King Street and maybe Lonsdale Street, and the rest of the city is local access. So you can get to your deliveries and get to where you need to go. If you're in the city, easily, you might have to go a little bit further, but there won't be any traffic on the local roads. That's the vision that we need to be aspiring to. But thank you very much for this plan and for the other great stuff that's coming on, like Exhibition Street, last meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. I now call on John Milanez to speak for no more than 3 minutes. John? No. Can I ask one of the officers to just give us some information about loading and how the changes will impact streets, just because both people mentioned it. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. The loading, the plan that's before you today is based on solid evidence. We've really looked at the pedestrian numbers and how they've gone up, the vehicles decreasing over many years. And in terms of servicing delivery, we've kept the same number of car parking and loading bays along the street. They have moved outside the blocks that we've spoken about, but you can still access all properties through the rerouting of traffic. Thank you, David, for your comments today. I think it's really important to note we've done very comprehensive traffic analysis of these proposals and found, and that's also counted in Melbourne Metro and the disruption around the streets as well. And the impact on vehicle movements is going to be is seen in the broader network as being insignificant. And so that has given us confidence within the plan with the proposals we put forward today. So properties will be able to still be accessed through service and delivery. But what we're really trying to do here is create a great retail street and a great gateway into the city.
Thank you.
Chair?
Oh, yes.
Sorry, can I say, it's almost a Dorothy Dixer sorry, because it is in the report, but just to confirm, though, that any closure of the road is still subject to public notice and a submission process. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. So this is putting forward the vision for the future street. There will be a formal notification process and, of course, detailed design where we will engage very proactively with landowners and businesses along the street to ensure that we're taking into account all of their issues.
Thank you. Yes.
Hi, Emma. St Francis Church is a traditional place of worship, which is frequented by many people of senior age and or disability. How will the allocation or the reallocation of parking around the church itself disadvantage those two groups in particular?
So we have engaged, my understanding, the team have engaged very fully with St Francis Church, and they have raised issues that we have addressed through the plan. And in terms of the staging, we've looked at that very carefully. We're cognisant of the need for retaining car parks in the short to medium term, but my understanding is there's plans afoot into the future where that can be reassessed, but that's in a future stage as well. It's in a later stage within the plan. And they do have an additional access point. That's great.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
So I would like to move the motion on the screen. There it is. Fantastic. And I call on the councillor to second the motion. Councillor Leppert. So I'd like to speak to the motion. First thing is a little bit of history. Elizabeth Street is on Williams Creek, which is the old creek that Melbourne was settled around. And when I took over this role, Wurundjeri Elder took me on a walk and showed me some things about the city. And one of the things is when it rains, if you get a big downpour, if you go down to the river and stand on the river, you can see the change in the water, where the clay from the creek, which is much lighter colour, still flows underneath Elizabeth Street, and you can see it then come into the Yarra, and it splits the colour of the water in two. Bit of history. But I also found it fascinating, and I also kept thinking, I wonder if it keeps raining like that, whether the road one day will dip down, but I'm hoping that's not the case. Second thing is, I think that this plan is extraordinary, and it really mirrors what we've seen in the Transport Strategy 2030. So it's really looking to a city that delivers three things, really. And I think the things that we're really looking for is livability, profitability, and safety. You know, it's like the whole plan is about how do we create for the city a people where they live and they work and they enjoy each other's company and they have space to meet and talk and have a coffee together or be able to sit down if they're older while they're waiting for the tram. That's the kind of livability that this particular plan in Elizabeth Street offers. It also delivers profitability, because one of the things that we know is that if you have people walking past shops, they spend longer. And actually what you're doing is one of the busiest parts of the city at the moment, where people are pouring out of the train stations, they're moving through it quickly because it's so busy. And actually this will slow down that traffic. And all the evidence says that will improve retail. And so that's an exciting part for this city, given that it is that bridge and that entrance into retail Melbourne. So that's exciting too. And I think the last thing is safety, is that on that street at the moment, we've got one of the busiest junctions in the city. You've got people getting off trams, you've got people coming out of the station, you've got another station coming in there soon, so that's more people. You've got a situation where there's not enough space on the trams, there's not enough space on the pavements, and at times when the lights change, there is not enough space to just gather the people up and put them safe before the lights change again. One of the things he's going to do is going to create an opportunity for people to come across that road from the station and be able to just find space, make the decision, if they're waiting for the tram, not have to crowd onto that little platform and wait there while the traffic comes behind them. I think lastly, as a cyclist, I do not do that end of Elizabeth Street. And so it is just not safe. The unloading and the loading and that last bit before you get to the station, I always turn left or right, and I always make a decision so I can go around it, because it's always so tricky to get around that corner. So for all of those reasons, and the fact that it fits so closely with the transport plan, I'm really excited this has come forward. I think I do have to acknowledge that this has been around a long time, and many councillors who've been here longer have been working on this for a long time, and the staff have been working this on a long time. So although it really fits well with the transport strategy, it's a lot of good work from a lot of people over a long time. So I really acknowledge that work. I think the last thing I'd like to say is that there's a bit of press in this morning about this in terms of the concerns of disruption, and particularly the minister's concerns, Minister Allen's concerns about disruption. And I think I just want to really emphasise that we are really concerned about disruption in the city. You know, one of the things that happened is that we have not had the kind of investment in public transport that we've needed, and we are now, you know, in some ways with the state government, really committing to making this city safe, livable, profitable, and creating that space for the people that travel around here, mostly on foot. So I think I really want to take the opportunity to say to the state government and people that are concerned, we will look and take real care as we make the changes that are necessary to keep this city a great and livable city. And we will manage disruption, we'll manage it well. There is an opportunity that we're already discussing with the state about how we can work more closely around those issues, how we can include others like City Water to ensure that disruptions that are needed to build better infrastructure are not laid on top of each other. But I think importantly, while we'll do that, we've also really got to respond to the needs of the city. And that's what we're doing in this. So congratulations to those involved. Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Chair. As always, I agree with you 110%. This is a very high quality piece of work, and I just want to acknowledge the incredible amount of work by the team. Thank you, Emma and Margie and your team. It's not just the document that we're looking at, but the amount of work that has gone into traffic modelling, design, before the document was even produced is quite formidable. Every question I've posed over the weekend, since I really got stuck into the report, has been answered in such a way that demonstrates just the depth of thinking that's gone into this plan, whether it's the overground flood levels and the change of guttering levels, what effect that might have on businesses. That's been thought through very, very carefully. The U-turn on Bourke Street and safety issues that might arise, that will be thought through very, very carefully. And some of the bike movements, whether or not those bike lanes should be immediately next to the tram lines or whether they should be on the other side of the tram stops proper. Again, the solution that's proposed here has been thought through very, very carefully. So I'd like to commend the team. As the Chair said, proposals like this have been around quite a while. I think Councillor Oak's been here longer than any of us on this council, and it's been talked about before any of us started. And Councillor Louie's not here at the moment either, but he'd qualify there as well. There's Susan, yes, Councillor Riley as well. Both of you would have stood at the southern end of Elizabeth Street more than once to talk about what we'd like to do. For various reasons, disruption has meant that it's been difficult to get going with that, whether it's private works down at the southern end or whether there's always going to be proposals in the city to give rise to questions about when you should start with this. And so I think it's good that this is a multi-staged proposal, and stage one, of course, has already been budgeted. It's not really part of this proposal. That very southern end has been programmed in the draft budget for next year. That's already out on public exhibition. What I can say about stage two, and then, of course, stage three is probably 2026 onwards, is that, as Councillor Oak picked up, any of those future stages are subject to multiple points of really careful consultation and detailed design. Statutory road closures need to go through that public process with notice, which is very carefully designed to give natural justice and fairness to all parties. But that detailed design process will, I'm sure, be taking business loading couriers into account, just as we had to do for Swanston Street. But look at what happened to Swanston Street. The footfall increases on Swanston Street has seen the vacancy levels in Swanston Street over the course of 15 years go from quite a high level to effectively zero. That'd be a fantastic thing to see in Elizabeth Street as well, by increasing the amenity out of sight to make sure that not only are we not inconveniencing the businesses and the traders on Elizabeth Street, but we're increasing the footfall there as well. But the footfall's already increasing. Over the last 3 years, the stats speak for themselves. They have skyrocketed whilst private cars have diminished, and I think we need to facilitate that. The longer we don't get on with this, and the longer that the footpaths are overly congested, much more than the car lanes, and that is the simple fact of the matter, we have a public safety issue on our hand. So we have to get ahead of that, and while we're doing that, fix up all these amenity issues as well. So I think it's a really exciting plan. The future road closures will be subject to detailed public consultation, especially with the traders, but I'd really like to congratulate the team and the chair. I think we should be getting on with it.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard. Would anyone else like to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Oak.
Thank you. Yes, as previous Chair of Transport and Deputy Chair of Transport, I have stood on the corner of Collins Street and Elizabeth Street and or Flinders Lane and announced the transformation of the southern end of Elizabeth Street a few times. So I'm excited that that will, fingers crossed, it's going to proceed, and it will transform that end of Elizabeth Street that I've known my entire life. It's on the tram line that I've caught, you know, probably, you know, more times than I can think about. And the thought of having a hub at that section of the city that is not just a busy thoroughfare and is much safer to access not only the transport around that area, but also the facilities and the restaurants and the cafes and the library and everything. I think it's really exciting. But what the team has done is brought that vision that we've had at the southern end of Elizabeth Street right up. And I think the title of the document is quite apt, Opportunities Plan. I think Elizabeth Street is full of amazing restaurants and cafes and actually a lot of specialty stores, and I do spend a lot of time on Elizabeth Street, but you're constantly rushing because there's so many people moving that you don't really have the ability to stop and enjoy. And every time I go past in the tram, you see a new exciting restaurant that, you know, wouldn't it be fabulous if the street was, you know, slowed down and the amenity was increased and the opportunities to celebrate actually what a great street Elizabeth Street is, but you're too busy rushing past to actually enjoy it. So I think it is exciting, but absolutely take into consideration and hear all of the feedback and concerns that, you know, people that live and work and own businesses on that street have. And that's why, you know, the implementation plan is in stages. There are a lot of checks and balances, not only around design, but also around access and loading and all of the things that have been addressed in the submitters, not only tonight, but that we've received. You know, there's a lot of work still to be done, but the amount of work that's already gone in and the evidence that has got us to tonight, I think, is just excellent and really is a great base that, you know, when we go through those formal processes, I think it will be a lot easier and far less painful, I think, than people think it might be. I think it is exciting. I'm excited, and I think acknowledging Nick's contribution, Nick Dow, that there is local access for cyclists. I think in previous plans, there was a thought that maybe cyclists weren't going to have access but I'm glad that they do, and local access is really important. And, yeah, I think that it's a great opportunities plan and I look forward to it becoming a reality.
Thank you. Lord Mayor.
Look, a lot of the comments have been made, but I do think it's great, David, that you came along tonight just to remind us about the practicality and functionality for our traders. We do have lots of economic analysis that shows that the more pedestrian space that we provide, the better it is for retailers, but just also keeping in mind that you need to be able to receive deliveries. And also to that point about accessibility from a loading perspective, but also for disabled people and people requiring access, that actually the number of car parks, although the configuration will change, is staying the same. So there's been thought put into all of those aspects as well. And also I think Councillor Leppett picked up on it, but the fact is that within these zones and the way they're designed, with increased lighting and other elements relevant to safety, we're going to have areas that will attract more people and people will be much better behaved as well. And I think all of those things are going to be great for our retailers as well as everybody else that are using the areas. So as the process continues, we'll continue to make sure that we're asking ourselves those questions and reassuring people that all of those views have been taken into consideration. And I support the proposal.
Is there anyone who would like to speak for or against the motion? Okay, I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. I now call on the Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, to assume the role of chair of the meeting in relation to the major events portfolio.
Thanks, Councillor Francis Gillie. There's one report for consideration this evening from management under the major events portfolio. Agenda item 6.3, Melbourne Fashion Week 2019. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Nobody does. Thank you. So I'm going to call on Chris Thrum to please come to the podium to address the committee on this matter. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, councillors, men and women of the Kulin Nation. This is one of the iconic events that the City of Melbourne presents to the citizens of Melbourne and to visitors of Melbourne as well. And it's come a long way from when it was the Melbourne Spring Fashion Week to now branded as the Melbourne Fashion Week. And one of the important things that the City of Melbourne does is collaborating with the industry, fashion industry, to ensure that the vision is shared with the industry and stakeholders as well to produce an event of world-class calibre. I think it's important too that City of Melbourne acknowledges that the students at its and other institutes as well have the opportunity to present runway shows and deliver the artistic vision that they have, and it spurs them on to greater heights. Also too, the underground runways, it's an important element of Melbourne's Fashion Week as well, coupled with the mainstream sort of runway shows that are held at Melbourne Town Hall. And it's a great utilisation of the Melbourne Town Hall space as well. I think it's with the development of the train station across the road, where we had that superb venue before, I think it's important that we've got a Melbourne Town Hall to fall back onto to present the runway shows. I'd like to thank too all the support that the councillors, the management and the council officers give towards this event. I know Councillor Susan Riley is like a staunch supporter of this event and will continue to do so as well. So I think to the carbon neutral approach that's being taken with the event is a very important approach that the City of Melbourne is taking as well. It's in sympathy with the sustainability approach that the City of Melbourne has in regards to all areas of its endeavours to produce a better and brighter world for the citizens of Melbourne. So in conclusion, I support the management and the council officers in the presentation of this great event, and I salute them for their working with the industry to ensure that it's a great event as well.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate your comments and your regular attendance and involvement in our matters. Well, I am going to move this motion that the Future Melbourne Committee endorses Melbourne Fashion Week 2019 in our program. And Councillor Riley, thank you for seconding the motion. Chris has really outlined this very nicely. Thank you, Chris, for the introduction. Our events team have put a lot of work into this event. It is part of our major events series, so Thank you, and acknowledging also the expertise, the deep expertise that sits within our team here to be able to deliver this event, which is very impressive. There are events that will be distributed right across the city and really look to activating different parts of our city, including our laneways and precincts. This year, Chinatown in particular will have a runway which is also reflecting the increased focus of this program on fashion and Asia. This is, of course, a fashion event where what you see on the runway is ready for retail, and that really differentiates it as an experience for all people that come in to enjoy and who love fashion, because they can combine two of their loves, loving fashion and loving shopping, and that's great for our city. This program also reflects the focus on local makers and talent, which is great, Indigenous, and as we said, there is something for everyone in Melbourne Fashion Week, which is very much about the inclusive nature of this city and our goals to be making sure everybody has accessibility and feels included. For all of those reasons, I'm happy to support this proposal, and I'm looking to seconder Councillor Riley for comments.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I mean, it's hard to imagine that 25 years ago the City of Melbourne decided that they'd have a fashion show. It is an amazing thing the city did all those years ago, and being a capital city, it was even more amazing. But the proof is in the pudding, and, you know, 100,000 people attended last year, and the economic impact was $13.1 million, and that is a high-achieving event. This morning we addressed the retailers and the excitement that was in Swanson Hall with the fact that we're ready to go and we're calling upon them to come forward and tell us, you know, where are they going to fit into the 2019 Fashion Week. There's so many new things that are happening this year. Like Lord Mayor said, Chinatown, taking it out of the normal way that we would run a fashion show and popping little pop-ups all over the city, putting it into little Bourke Street. We are continually changing the way we do it. And congratulations to the team behind it and to Louise Scott and her team, because this one is going to be one that we'll all remember. And so just put those dates in the diary. We'll be there.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillors, would anybody else like to speak? Councillor Oak?
As Chair of the Environment Portfolio, actually today and last week, I've had two presentations from the environment team, from the events team, about their commitment to sustainability, and I just wanted to acknowledge that and note, as Chris Thrum has raised, that it will be a carbon neutral event, and importantly, that's not just about buying offsets, it's actually about making a significant effort to reduce your emissions over time. I'm also impressed with the strategies around procurement to reduce waste, and in particular single-use plastics as well, and also the runways and the discussions around slow fashion and sustainability. And I'd like to acknowledge Councillor Riley, because I know that you're committed to this as well, and in particular around the waste reduction, and I know that your stewardship of the event, I'm sure, has made sure that those topics are on the agenda. So acknowledge your work in this area as well.
Thanks, Councillor Oak. Any other speakers to this motion? No. Okay. Well, then we're going to put the motion to the vote. Would all those in favour of the motion please raise your hands? It's unanimous. Brilliant. So we declare that motion carried. Thank you. Well, this concludes reports from management to be considered in open session, and we can now move to general business. And there is one item of general business to be considered in open session, 7.1, notice of motion, Councillor Leppett, zoning of council-owned parks.
Lord Mayor? Sorry, I just need to declare a direct interest because I live in close proximity to one of the parks on the list. Under consideration, so I'll declare
it. Lucky you. Thank you for declaring your interest, Councillor Oak. All right.
Thanks, Tame. I'm going to call on Councillor Leppett to move a motion with respect to this matter. Thank you. And Councillor Wood, are you seconding this motion?
No.
Oh, Councillor Rees is seconding the motion. Thank you. And I'm going to call on the mover to speak to the motion. Thanks, Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Our open space strategy is all about creating new small parks and medium parks across the municipality to make sure that future populations have public open space to enjoy and to make healthy communities. We haven't kept up with the zoning of those small parks, turning them from general residential or mixed use or capital city to the public park and recreation zone. From time to time, we hear not rumours, but we do get questions, particularly from Kensington and North Melbourne, saying, is this site going to be developed? Because it looks in the Melbourne planning scheme as though it's a site for development. Now, that's the opposite of Council's intention, but I think it's only fair and appropriate that we clean up the planning scheme and make it clear to all users of the planning system that these important parks are created not just for now, but for future populations to enjoy, hopefully, forevermore. And so what this proposal does is seeks to correct the zoning for 15 small parks, plus the Royal Park Adventure Playground, which is currently zoned public use zone, and to do it in a non-controversial and cost-effective way, and that is to couple it with the Municipal Strategic Statement, which will be exhibited next year. So it's a straightforward clean-up of the planning scheme, and I commend it to my colleagues.
Thank you. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion, please?
Very briefly, Lord Mayor, and really just to congratulate Councillor Leppett on his eagle eye in picking up this potential gap in our local planning strategy, and delighted to see that this work will now commence so that we can incorporate it into our new municipal planning strategy in 2020. I think the depth of pride and love of our parks in this city knows no limit, and it's great to see that there is so much going on in our parks around the city, like the upgrade of University Square, our plans for Lincoln Square, Gardeners Reserve, which will be soon reopening, if that's the right term, in North Melbourne. And, of course, the big one, the Domain Park Master Plan, and, of course, the sunlight to public places changes that we're making to ensure that, notwithstanding the development pressure we face in this city, our parks will continue to enjoy the benefits that sunlight delivered to the park and to the people who enjoy them. But tonight, I want to particularly say thanks to Councillor Leppett for picking this up and taking it forward.
Thank you, Councillor Rees. Are there any other speakers to this motion this evening? No. Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. So all those in favour, please raise your hands. That is unanimous. So I declare the motion carried. Thank you. We can ask Councillor Oak to come back into the meeting. She's coming in. This concludes the town hall runway. This concludes the items of general business for consideration in open session. Councillors, it leaves me to ask you, are there any items of urgent business for consideration this evening? There are none? Thank you. And as we mooted at the start of the meeting, there is a time now for 15 minutes of public questions. If there is anybody who would like to ask a question at this stage, if you could please put your hand up and we'll take your name and we'll go from there. Any questions? No. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Well, I want to thank all members of the public, all members of management and all councillors who are here this evening. Thank you very much. And we're declaring the meeting closed at 6:28 p.m. Thank you, everyone.